first speaker is coming up on the screen. I'm going to add her to the spotlight. That's Michelle Mahoney from EPA's Technology Innovation and Field Services Division. So Michelle, I'll go ahead and kindly ask you to turn on the screen share on your end, and I'll confirm once we see your slides up there. And Michelle, I can see the PowerPoint coming up. So if you want to go into your slideshow mode.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for the introduction, Jean. And thank you everyone for joining us today. Welcome. I wanted to just show you where you can find some more resources that EPA collects and posts for public consumption on our Cluin webpage. And that's this page that I have up now. And you can get here by going to cluin.org/mining. And we post all new information that we find about mining and treatment technologies and conferences and presentations here. So it might be a good place for you to check out at some point. So today's webinar is part of a series, and all of these webinars are recorded, as Jean mentioned, and you will be able to view the archives of these webinars at this website. So I wanted to make that available to everyone in case you wanted to look at any past webinars or even this one that we're doing now once the recording is available. And so today we're very happy to have a presentation on the Urnfeld AML Pilot Reclamation Recreation and Watershed Improvement Project. This was the winner of a 2020 OSM Abandoned Mine Land Reclamation Award. So we're very excited to be able to hear this story. And our presenter is Patrick Webb, who is the Assistant Director at PADEP's Bureau of Abandoned Mine Reclamation. And he is going to show us a very thoughtful and animated presentation today that I think will be very exciting. So with that, I think I'm going to turn it over to you, Patrick.
Okay. You should be able to hear and see me. And I promised myself, wrote a note, I wasn't going to see ums and ahs, and that's like the first thing I said. So I will get on the way here. Thank you. I appreciate everybody joining up for this. And I need to maneuver my, I have to share my presentation. That's what I need to do.
Yep. I'll let you know as soon as those slides are up live.
Okay. Should be good. Let me know. Are they up there?
There they go. They're perfect. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody. My name again is Patrick Webb from the Pennsylvania DEP. I'm going to spend time with everyone today to talk about Urnfeld. The Urnfeld Band of Mine Reclamation Project, it won an award, as was previously stated. And this presentation was built to show videos, pictures, interviews. There's some background videos that describe Pennsylvania abandoned mine land reclamation and also how it operates underneath the Federal Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement, OSMRE. The OSMRE is underneath the Department of the Interior. Here in the federal government. So as you see here, the Urnfeld AML Pilot Reclamation, Recreation, and Watershed Improvement Project, sorry about the lengthy name. I would point out that the name AML Pilot Program, that has recently changed over the past year. In 2016, the federal government started a program to take abandoned mine lands. We've always reclaimed abandoned mine lands and treated acid mine drainage since the 1980s. Starting in 2016, the federal government started a special program that once we reclaim abandoned mine lands, can the abandoned mine site that's now reclaimed, can it be repurposed for economic development and tourism recreation? So from 2016 to about 2020, the program was known as AML Pilot. And Pilot, as you know, as you watch TV shows, it's something new. So after 4 years, the federal government renamed AML Pilot. They renamed it as AMLER, A-M-L-E-R. And this presentation and the nomination was written before the name change. So I think it's very significant that I do mention that this is now known as the Abandoned Mine Land Economic and Revitalization Program, known as AMLR. So I've trained myself not to say AML pilot, been doing that for over a year now. And it's you may hear me say AMLR, because it's the Abandoned Mine Land Economic and Revitalization Program. So get these slides moving. Here we go. So what I have to share with you first, make sure I got this right, is a video. In this presentation, the way I have it set up is if you download the video, the presentation in PDF form, the hyperlinks are built that they will work for you. I have all the videos preloaded so then I can just skip to them right away. So I'm going to first start off with showing this video that discusses about abandoned mine lands in general and how it specifically applies to Urnfeld. So that it should be up and we'll go first with this. So here we go.
All six of the state's watersheds are haunted by the ghosts of mining's past. The environmental effects of coal mining weren't regulated in the United States until 1977. Prior to that, mining companies finished a job and walked away. When water fills the shafts today, it sweeps toxins into the water and even private wells.
So in that can be iron, sulfates, manganese, magnesium, aluminum, and other heavy metals that can be toxic, primarily to fish life.
Most of the drainage is acidic, caused by an iron mixture that turns water orange when it's exposed to oxygen. Drainage could also be contaminated by alkaline or other metal materials that turn the water white or bluish green.
The state of Pennsylvania leads the nation with the most abandoned mine land problems. If you look at 67 counties in the state, there's 43 of them that have abandoned mine land problems.
Like this toxic pile looming over the homes in Ehrenfeld in Cambria County.
What you are seeing behind me now is the Ehrenfeld Dangerous Refuse Pile and Embankment Area.
Spoil piles like this are another legacy of mining's past. Excavated land left to sit on top of the earth.
The spoil is anything and everything, rocks, topsoil, clay, sand, you name it.
3.2 million tons of anything and everything, washing into nearby water.
We had over 200 years of mining that was being done without any real environmental concern and safety concern.
The Ehrenfeld story is one of being forgotten. And I think a lot of the residents thought that that was their lot in life. It was a legacy. They didn't necessarily create the problem, but they didn't necessarily see the problem going away.
That changed in April of 2016. Government agencies, conservation groups, and Rosebud Mining Company came together to remove the spoil pile and restore the land.
That pile is still there.
Yeah, well this is...
So I think that's the perfect example of how legacy issues can be dealt with modern-day permitting to achieve the goal.
The top of this hill shows something Ehrenfeld residents haven't seen here in a century. Grass and trees. Growing on newly restored land. And all of these improvements will benefit the watershed.
It's a good news story. We are a Good Samaritan organization. We deal with private property owners. Everyday Joes out here that bought property and didn't realize that they own 50 acres and on their 50 acres they have abandoned mine features. Since our program began after 1977, we have reclaimed over 25,000 acres of AML.
Visiting reclamation sites for me is probably one of the greatest joys of the job. To see how a community's perception changes over time. And I really get the feeling that there's a new sense of community pride.
Okay, I'll get you back to, I'll get the hang of this. Okay, there we go. Yes, so that was just a video that was produced a couple of years ago to sort of dive into a little bit about abandoned mine land reclamation. So the sites that we work on are, here's a good cover of before and after. The abandoned mine land sites that are eligible for reclamation They were created by mine companies prior to 1977 for their profit, and then they were left unreclaimed as in mine drainage that was leaving the site would not be treated. Post-1977, in our active mining site for Title V, those type of conditions are not to exist through modern-day permitting. So for abandoned mine land reclamation, if a site is proven to have had surface mining for coal or deep mining for coal prior to 1977, it could be an eligible abandoned mine site for us to reclaim underneath the Surface Mining Reclamation Control Act, known as SMCRA, from 1977. So applying the law, and it was reauthorized recently for us to continue working on abandoned mine land reclamation. This is a very good shot of before and after of what the pot refuse pile, dangerous pile embankment site in 1956 looked like and what it looks like today here after 2020 when this picture was taken. And this this is the cover of the nomination that we wrote. It shows how Pennsylvania, we're on here with Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement and Rosebud Mining Company, who was the contractor. And we had partners on this project listed below. It may not be very good to see, but they're also listed on an upcoming slide here. So what I like to point out is that if the nomination that was written is available here on the internet, and I'll get the hang of alt-tabbing. Get out of that. Here's our website where we show all our award-winning projects. Here's Urnfeld that we're talking about here in 2020. And recently here in 2021, the Steinman Refuse Pile, similar to Urnfeld, also won an award. It was a regional award, whereas the Urnfeld Pile won the national award. So within this PowerPoint, not only can you, you know, find out more about Urnfeld, but you can look at the other projects we've worked on and also won awards. So specifically for pre-1977 eligible mine refuse piles, there's basically three ways you can reclaim them. And these award-winning projects for Steinman that was processed at a cogen company, here for Urnfeld, which was dug up and disposed of in a permitted facility, or even down here back in 2016, the Mather Refuse Pile, there was no good way to dig up that pile or burn that pile for energy. It was covered and capped on site. So that's some information there. The nomination itself in this PowerPoint and on the website, here is the full nomination that was written and submitted to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation Enforcement in 2020 to compete. So the full nomination's in here. I think I have to refresh it. So if you have time, you want to find out more information, you can always come to the nomination here to read all about Urnfeld. It's highly loaded with information for videos and pictures. There's a digital submission here. If you click on this link, it takes you to so much more information. We have a video section in here that shows all the construction videos before, during, and after, and some interviews. So just guiding you through the presentation and all that I have loaded up on here. So let me go back to the presentation. There we go. I'm getting the hang of it now. Good. So now getting you to the location of this project. So here in Pennsylvania, the Urnfeld site is located in Cambria County. You should be able to see like a red bubble during this presentation. Near the town of Johnstown, you see Pittsburgh here, located in Allegheny County. And Philly is located all the way across the eastern part of the county, all the way over here. So there's a location of the project. Outside of Johnstown, PA. Johnstown's not known, but there was a flood that happened in 1889. A dam broke and flooded the town, and the city of Johnstown has faced many challenges with flooding. So if you've heard of Johnstown, it's known for its floods, but it's a beautiful town. So now getting into the problems at hand with the AML site of Urnfeld. Like I mentioned before, abandoned mine reclamation underneath the Surface Mining Reclamation Control Act of 1977, known as SMCRA, abandoned mine sites are known as Title IV. Active mine sites for permitting after 1977 are known as Title V sites. My program is responsible when anyone would report an issue is to make sure, does it comply and is it eligible for Title IV pre-1977 abandoned mine reclamation. And the Ehrenfeld site was full of what we call dangerous pile embankment areas. It's mine refuse. Primarily, there were three areas. We call them refuse pile 1 and 2. And the third one was along the bike trail path that was added through a work order in the contract. Other abandoned mine land features that were hazardous were also what we call these priority two features. Parts of the refuse pile were smoldering. You wouldn't see flames, but it was a smoky condition. You can smell the refuse burning. The refuse was so much out there that what was placed upon the topography, it also would clog streams like an unnamed tributary to the Little Connemara River. And then we also have a gob pile. A P3 gob pile is almost the same as a P2 dangerous pile and embankment. It's all refuse. It's just the fact that the P3 wasn't right against a home to make it a priority two condition. So you have your abandoned mine site, the Title IV site, where the refuse pile and the abandoned mine site and the dangerous conditions were at. And through a process of trying to design the project, how to figure out how to get rid of the refuse, we settled up on taking the refuse pile, trucking it to a Title V permitted surface mine site. And that is known as also the Ehrenfeld surface mine permit. As you see here, it was permitted for 726 acres, of which 246.6 was actively being surface mined. Now, the start dates of the AML site, the almost 70 acres of the Ehrenfeld refuse pile, shown the timeline that it began in April of 2016 and it was completed in August of 2020. Showing you the cost of the project. Now I know $35.3 million is a lot of money. You're gonna see here to handle a refuse site, 70 acres and how it was situated. When we first advertised this project, we had bids come in of almost $100 million. I think the low bid was somewhere around $90 million. And that was to dig up the refuse pile and dispose of it in a permitted facility. But since we were able to work with our active mining program in Title V, you can see how we significantly reduced the project cost to remove the abandoned mine land hazard. So for our project partners, our main project partner from the federal government is the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation Enforcement. They're known as OSM. They also go by OSMRE, so you may hear people describe them as OSM or OSMRE. My office, the Bureau of Abandoned Mine Reclamation, we're the Title IV program for abandoned mine sites to reclaim them, and for permitting of active Title V sites for any active mine site that's after 1977, our district mining office is in charge of the active mining of the sites. We also have our other project partners that were shown on the cover page, and I won't read them for timing, and you can always refer to them. The Rosebud Mining Company was our contractor. So I gotta reduce this, sorry here. All right, here we go. Now this slide is just showing you the abandoned mine site, because it's kind of confusing when you have two different work sites, the Title IV being the AML site. And this is what this is showing here, the before construction conditions. So as you see here, 69 and a half acres of total AML, what we call priority two dangerous pile embankment. Now the refuse pile number one up here was 55.8 acres. Below Second Street was refuse pile number two, and that was 7.7 acres. And then located west of the town of Ehrenfeld along the bike trail is what we call the Johnstown Path of the Flood Trail refuse pile. And this was 6 acres, and this area was added to the 6 acres refuse pile was added to the project as a work order. Again, this is all showing you the pre-construction conditions. This is a 1956 photo. The Pennsylvania Coal and Coke operated the underground coal mining and refuse disposal operations above the town of Ehrenfeld. So Ehrenfeld is all below here, and this is just showing you the south embankment side of the refuse pile in 1956. This is a 1967 photo. Again, the PA Coal & Co. continued operations in 1971 until the Bethlehem Mine Corporation acquired the operation. Due to the stability concerns of the POW, the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Resources, that used to be the name of Department of Environmental Protection, but they used to be known as DER. So DER at the time had to directly consult with Bethlehem and tell them they cannot accept any additional disposal of the mine refuse at the site because of the instability of the refuse pile. Again, this is a pre-construction photo. This is probably around 2016. So here's a picture that starts a series of aerial oblique photos of the pile that were taken in 2012 before the reclamation contract would start in 2016. This is the southern embankment of the pile located above Railroad Street, which is right here, and the Johnstown Path of the Flood Trail. So this is a municipal street, but it also functions as a recreational trail. So you would have trail riders at the base of the pile. There was a dangerous condition. If you can imagine the grade riding down this bike trail with, say, you're a five-year-old or an eight-year-old, it's not very good stopping conditions whenever you're riding this bike trail. So this was an issue that we improved with this project. Refuse pile number one is above Railroad Street, and refuse pile number two is below the street, and then you have the Little Connemara River. This is a eastern embankment side of the refuse pile, of refuse pile number two, again, above Railroad Street, that's here in the middle. And here's refuse pile number one below the street. And you see this is a mine water treatment facility here. This is treating deep mine water that's below the refuse pile. But this is a good photo showing the instability of the refuse pile. You may see a little bit of orange in the photo. This is where the refuse pile did catch on fire. We call that red dog. And this is where some of the toxic fumes were coming from the refuse pile. And it was slumping inside and sliding. There was an emergency contract that they did way before the project began where they tried to stabilize the refuse pile right in this area. The federal government did that at the time. Here's another picture. This is the northern part of the embankment side of the refuse pile number one. The western embankment side of the refuse pile one also filled in this original stream segments of an unnamed tributary to the Little Connemara River. The Little Connemara is right down here. And they had an unnamed tributary flowing at the base of the pile. So this unnamed tributary should have been over this way, but the operations filled in the stream and the stream had to move over towards these homes. Before the construction of the pile in 2016, and even now that it's over, this is Route 219. So this site is very highly visible from the highway. Now this is the western embankment side of the refuse pile number one in 2012. In this area, the refuse pile had consumed over 60 acres of the town of Urnfeld. In this area, amasses up to 45% of the developable land in the borough. So this is all Urnfeld. You have homes over here. You have homes over here. And this is all the borough area. So the refuse pile was wasting 45% of the developable land in Urnfeld. And now being on top of the pile, this isn't on top yet, but this is a pre-construction photo standing on one of the plateaus, not the top of the refuse pile above the town. The base of the refuse pile in this picture is within 5 feet of this home. So I'm just gonna point out this home. Try to remember it because you're gonna see it in other photos with the refuse pile reclaimed. So, when it rained real hard, before the refuse pile was reclaimed, it would erode the refuse pile towards the home. You have acid mine drainage coming off the pile. So this was the 2016 pre-construction dangerous conditions in the proximity of this being this close to this home. As you saw in the other photo, the refuse pile was into the stream and there was homes on the other side of the stream. Here another picture on that same plateau area. That's a coworker of mine, Ken Bobak. You can see the homes here in Urnfeld in the background. Also in the distance, this is the town of South Fork as well. And then the Little Connemara. Is right underneath this bridge. This is a very good picture taken during the winter. It's a very good illustration of the multiple terraces that you would see in the different access points on the refuse pile. What makes these refuse piles dangerous is that it attracts visitors, that it attracts ATV riders to be trespassing on top of the property, getting hurt. And that's what makes this the priority two mine site prior to construction. So, you know, with all the vegetation and the foliage off, you can see some of the where the snow is laying on the benches. It just really shows, you know, the depth and complexity of the refuse pile and how steep it was and close to the homes. This is a picture, don't have too many of them, but this is a picture of the Johnstown Path of the Flood Trout pile. This was the pile that was later added to the project, approximately 6 acres. This was a picture that was taken, and I believe this was the project start in 2016, but this pile was added around 2017 for reclamation. All right, so as a quick review, getting back to the main part that I have covered here, we're talking about specifically the Title IV abandoned mine site, the 70 acres of the refuse pile. And we're not getting into the Title V site, the active mine site, which was modified to be basically a landfill for the refuse pile. So this slide's really going over what I kind of hinted on before when I was showing you the other award-winning projects we have to work on mine refuse. You know, there's three methods you can to reclaim the mine site. The first site could the refuse be dug up and be used as fuel at a cogen facility? And if you're not familiar with a cogen facility is kind of like a power station, but a cogeneration facility basically burns waste coal. Whenever refuse piles are created, the refuse piles are created basically of coal reject from a deep mine, an underground mine site. And they go after the high BTU coal that was used in prior 1977 to make steel to support our program, to support the nation in making steel to fight the world wars. But then the cogeneration facility and the power industry where coal is being used for energy, you know, to turn the lights on, to heat homes and whatnot. So for mine refuse, it's the waste coal that wasn't utilized to make the steel. And so to do a cogen project, you need to have, you know, high BTU and low sulfur content. Through drilling, it was determined that the BTU was too low and the sulfur content was too high. So we could not send it to a cogen facility. The third method would be the regrade and soil capped on site. We could not do that as well because it was too steep out there. So we had to go for the middle method, was to dig up the refuse pile and send it to a permitted site. So I did go over a good bit of information. So I'm going to pause right now for any questions.
Great. Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, we had a participant who had a comment that they wanted to share with you that they can't express how happy it makes them to hear about the success of this site because they spent time working on the Cambria and Somerset County's acid mine drainage inventory with USGS when they were an undergrad in the mid 90s. And this participant also grew up in Johnstown. And she's just very excited to hear about the success. And she herself is now a hydrologist with USGS. So I thought I'd share that comment with you.
Okay.
So I know Urnfeld is a coal site. There was a question of whether your program manages any hard rock mining sites. Is it primarily coal?
It's a good question. Since 1977, specifically around the early 1980s, like around 1982, 1983, the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, the Bureau of Abandoned Mine Reclamation, my program, starting in the early 80s, the program for Title IV is specifically only for coal abandoned coal mine sites. Hard rock mine sites is not a program that's fully funded for abandoned mine reclamation. However, we do have other instances of mining for like other industrial minerals in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where it's very similar to an abandoned coal mine site. It's just that the mineral that was extracted, abandoned, left in place many years ago could have been a different ore, like if it was an iron ore mine. Funding is not available in Pennsylvania for those sites. specifically because coal mining and the abandoned mine land program, the main supporting financial mechanism to do abandoned mine reclamation in Pennsylvania and the nation for abandoned coal mining is a fee that's placed on active coal mines. That has been reauthorized recently, and it's utilized to reclaim abandoned mine sites, the funding that is. For other non-coal sites, hard rock mining reclamation has not been fully funded, but with the new bipartisan infrastructure bill that was passed by both the Senate and the House recently and then signed by the president a couple weeks ago, there is a section that does discuss abandoned hard rock sites. The exact way or in the financial avenue for those sites to be reclaimed and funded, the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation Enforcement, OSMRE, or also known as OSM, they need to further interpret that the law, the new bipartisan infrastructure bill, to see how hard rock mining can be funded and reclaimed. In the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it does exist, but the history of our program is more associated with abandoned coal mines, both surface and underground.
Okay, great. Thanks, Patrick. I know you showed some options on your summary slide there for reclamation, but this question came in. It was wondering if the approach that you took at Urnfeld was a special case or this was a common approach used for mining sites in Pennsylvania.
Our reclamation method was the middle one here. It was a special case. And I'm going to get into it in the next couple of slides, but the three methods were your basic methods for reclamation of abandoned mine, coal mine refuse sites. The idea and the concept of digging up the refuse and transporting it to a permitted facility for refuse disposal. The first option was to dig it up. We advertised a low bid, a competitive bid, and the bids came in very high that would basically take it to a landfill. You can also dig up the abandoned mine refuse and possibly find other abandoned mine sites where you would have what we call a coal high wall site. It could be a coal cut into the ground from the surface, and you have basically like 100-foot high wall that could be 50 or 100 feet high, and you have mine spoil cast away, and you have like a pit or a void. Those sites there could also be utilized underneath the SMCRA law to dispose mine refuse because it's all mine materials. That wasn't economical, and we didn't really have that close by. This was a special case of taking in a Title V active mine, surface mine permitted site that you're going to see here upcoming to have the surface mine permit modified to accept mine refuse and to have it blend with alkaline addition so it would be able to neutralize the acidic properties of the refuse pile to neutralize it and in fact make it like a landfill. So that's what you're going to see here on the upcoming slides and what we did here for Urnfeld.
Okay, great. We have one more question that I see in the queue. This participant is curious about the houses in Urnfeld and was wondering, were they there before or after the refuse piles were started? So,
that's going
might vary,
back.
Right?
Yeah, well, like here in 2012, this is the conditions of the refuse area. Here's a picture of 1956. You know, it's basically an industrial town. You have a lot of row homes, homes that supported the mining industry. I do not have the information to show you how many homes were there before the pile and how many homes were there after the pile. The history of the refuse pile does date back to 1903. That's when in this area the mining and disposal of the refuse material began in 1903 on the existing ground to create this massive 60-acre refuse pile. They stopped depositing materials in the early 1970s. So I do not have a good count of how many homes were there before and after, but it's a very populated area, in Western Pennsylvania. It's a classic coal mining town. So that would be my best answer or response.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So those are all the questions I'm seeing now. I just want to remind the participants, you can continue to add your questions or comments in the Q&A. And when we pause again, we will queue them up. So go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, I'll keep on going here. So what I wanted to go over is now the I spent some time talking about the pre-construction conditions of the AML site, which was right in here, Refuse Pile 1, Refuse Pile 2, and the Johnstown Path of the Flood Trail Pile. This photo was taken in 2019 during construction, so you can see the progress, a lot of progress that was made on the refuse pile. And during 2019, this was the outlining the disposal area of the surface mine permit. The actual surface mine permit, like I said before, is over 700 acres. And the mining that was done was roughly about 200 acres. And then of that 200 acres, this yellow area is showing what was amended in the surface mine permit as a refuse disposal area. As part of our AML reclamation contract, a haul road had to be constructed to connect the two sites. So that's showing you that. But I wanted to show a little bit of the pre-construction conditions of the surface mine site prior to construction. So I'm going to go to the next slide. And that's what it looked like at the time. So here in 2012, in this photo, you can see where it was at the time of 2012, the mining company that was surface mining multiple coal seams was the Amfire Mining Company. Again, that was Amfire Mining Company. They were permitted by the Commonwealth, the DEP, to mine the Upper Katanning, the Upper Freeport, and the Lower Freeport coal seams. And you can kind of see that in this photo. This just happened to be in one of the aerial obliques in 2012 when we were isolating Urnfeld, and in the distance was the surface mine permit site. And over here, you can see the Johnstown Path of the Flood Trail pile. And this is the town of Urnfeld right in here. So getting back to what I was showing you before, this because this is a photo of 2019 showing the progression. And this is where I want to get into the sort of a timeline. And I could, you know, spout this out, but I'd rather, you know, show it to you and so you can connect the dots and kind of go through this. And I don't want to read this word for word because you can reference this, you know, another time. But so in 2008, mind you that the AML refuse pile the project didn't begin until 2016. But in 2008, as I mentioned before, Amfire Mining, they were surface mining on a Title V active mine site. Regulated by our district mining office, not my office, of the active mining that was going on in the surface mine permit. Then go over to my site, the AML site. In 2013, we advertised a contract to take the refuse pile and to remove it from the site and dispose of it in a permanent disposal facility. And you see the bids were very high, 98.9. We did not have that $98.9 million in our budget to do that. So in the timeline, then in 2014, the surface mine permit site, the over 700 acre site, not our 70 acre AML refuse site, but the active site, it was transferred to Rosebud Mining in 2014. Rosebud was familiar with our problems that we had with the high bid that we received when we were trying to remove the refuse. So in an agreement between the district mining office, our Title V site, our AML office, my office, the Title IV site, and Rosebud Mining, we worked on an agreement to amend their surface mine permit for them to accept mine refuse at that value, $5.14 cubic yard, to accept mine refuse and also to blend it with alkaline addition. The additional mine refuse at the surface mine permit site would also help the final contours, because whenever you're at a surface mine site, an active mine site, that 246.6 acres of the 726.3 permanent site, you are removing ground the Amfire Mine Company was for coal. And so there was a void there. The mine refuse would help the final reclamation plan of the surface mine permit site. All right, so then after that, we redid the design and we advertised it. Knowing that whoever the low bid contractor would be to reclaim the refuse pile, they would be working with Rosebud Mining to dispose the mine refuse at their surface mine permanent site. Rosebud Mining Company was able to be certified and cleared to bid on our AML reclamation contract, and they submitted the actual low bid of 13.4 as bid value. And it's kind of critical to mention this is as bid These were as bid numbers, because in construction industry, there's always got to be add-ons in construction that's going to take an as bid amount and make it an as built amount. So what we were looking at on this contract in 2016, when it was awarded to Rosebud Mining to work as both, they were always the surface mine operator since they bought, since they took over the surface mine permit from Amfire. They always had to reclaim their mine site. We worked on an agreement to have them amend their surface mine permit. Luckily enough for them, they were the low qualified bidder on the AML site. I think the next responsible bid came in around $14 million. So it was definitely a competitive process. So with this competitive process, when you take our as bid estimated refuse disposal fee, when you take $5.14 for the amount of cubic yards that had to leave the refuse pile as an as-bid value, it came in around $12.7 million is what the agreement would be. And then to do the construction work, any low-bid contractor, just coincidentally, Rosebud beat everybody out. They got the construction contract for $13.4 million. So when you add the two together, as-bid values there in 2016, there's a significant cost savings between $26.1 million and $98.9 million. I know in a previous slide, I was showing you an as-built value that was around $35 million. That was because of the addition of the Johnstown Flood Trail Path refuse pile. So there's still a cost savings between $35 million and $98 million back in 2013. So roughly saved 64% of that cost savings to remove the refuse pile. So that's a lot of words. And I thought it was just more effective to show you all the words and the dates to show you how these two sites were now joined to take Refuse Pile 1, Refuse Pile 2, the construction work order of this refuse pile. Here's your almost 70 acres of refuse going in the modified surface mine permit. The haul road was a contractual item of the reclamation contract. That was roughly a 5,000 linear foot haul road to connect the sites. All right. So I did want to pause for any questions, I believe, because that's a lot of information. So I'll pause for any questions now.
Hey, Patrick, I don't see any questions coming in. So we'll just remind the participants that they can submit questions at any time during the presentation, and we'll keep pausing. I think you can go ahead.
Okay, we'll keep on going. Now, again, this presentation is built to help me convey this message to you. And also, you can go back to this at a later time. And you can pull up all these videos yourself. So I work in a chronological format here. And I got to make sure I get this right. Where am I? Here, I'm here. All right. So we are at the groundbreaking video. And I'm going to play this, a short video, to show you what the site looked like in 2016 for groundbreaking. Okay, here we go.
One of the things we want to do by being here in Ehrenfeld, the very first site of this mine reclamation program that we hope will expand well before, is shout from the tops of these refuse piles that this place is looking to the future. This place is looking to remove some of these blights on their landscape and welcome everybody to this wonderful community. And we know that this is a great place to make that happen.
People be able to look out their back doors and say, well, the pile's gone, it's nice. They'll be able to sit in their backyards and there won't be no water in their backyards. And I hope this is just the beginning and the future of Ehrenfeld.
We're about changing the world, making a difference here in Ehrenfeld, as well as sites across the state. One of the centerpieces of the Wolf administration approach to environment is looking for that space where environment and economic development come together, and we can really use environmental resources and environmental opportunity to drive job creation, job growth, economic development.
It's great to see what's going on in our town, maybe making things for the future.
Okay, so that was the condition of our site just a couple months after the contractor started, early in the spring of 2016. And that was a a ceremony in August where, you know, we had all the officials there, you know, to signify the beginning of the contract, even though they were ongoing for a couple months. And that's what we saw in the background. So now we're into during construction conditions of the AML site, the refuge site, the Title IV abandoned mine site, the 70 acres, not to be confused with the 250-some disposal site on the active surface mine permit. So this is during a construction picture that was taken in June of 2016, basically at the top of refuge pile number one. We used 10, Rosebud Mining used 10 Caterpillar 777 rock trucks. They were in operation every workday. Here's another picture at the top of the refuse pile, one during the construction in June 2016. Here's another picture at the top of the refuse pile, number one later in October of 2016. You can see the progression that Rosebud made from the top of the pile downward, meaning that this was all refuse at one point. If you were at the toe of the refuse at this point, you know, this was all refuse up to the top into the screen. And they had to operate, but they can only have roughly like 6 acres open at a time or disturbed, and they'd have to seed and mulch it before they can disturb another 6 acres. Here's another picture at the top of the refuse pile, number one, later in October 2016. The 10 rock trucks made 20 trips per day to a 200 truck daily total maximum trip. So even though the haul road was construction at a length of 5,000 linear feet, the actual distance from the center of the AML site, the Title IV site, the abandoned mine site, to the center of the disposal site, which is the active Title V surface mine permit site, was around 2.4 miles. So 5,000 linear feet, that's a little over a mile, but centroidally, that's a word, from the AML site to the surface mine permit site was over, you know, almost 2.5 miles. Now, this is a great photo here, an aerial oblique that we have here. I've got to get some of my notes here, what I want to discuss. So this is an aerial oblique taken through the first year of construction in April of 2017. This shows you the work that had the refuse pile one right here above Railroad Street. You can see in the distance the 5,000 linear foot haul road that took us up to the surface mine permit site. So this reclamation process here at our AML Title IV abandoned mine site was the refuse excavation and hauling to the disposal site. They had on-site topsoil excavation. They would store the topsoil. They would place alkaline addition. Then lime fertilizing and seeding and mulching. So after a year of construction, you can see the refuse that was removed, it being vegetated, and the more refuse still left to go. And this was just refuse pile number one. At this time, Rosebud Mining did not start on refuse pile number two, which was below Railroad Street. And as I mentioned before, this was the remnants of the area that was burnt. You can see some orange. So this soil here had to be remediated. So the mine refuse, again, it was placed foreign under from underground mining activities. It was placed on this area on the existing topography. So prior to 1903, this would have been all, you know, like forest land above the town of Urnfeld. And they wiped out the trees, and on the irregular ground, the grade of topography, they started placing the mine refuse in layers all the way up to the top of the mountain here. So the way it was placed with rain events, it became very unstable. That led to us to do the project. We start designing in early 2012, leading up to the start of construction in 2016. We've got some more photos here to go over. Here's a better picture illustrating the location of the haul road that connected the Title IV abandoned mine line site, the AML refuse pile, to the top of the western portion of refuse pile one to the surface mine permit Title V site. So this is what I'm saying is the western portion of refuse pile number one. All this up to here was all refuse. You can follow the red dot. And now the refuse pile in this area is removed, hauled up to the surface mine permit site. It's a little bit off the screen, but that's where the refuse went. Now, this is down on refuse pile number one below Railroad Street. So here in February of 2018, remind you that the project began in 2016. So in 2018, they started working on removing the refuse pile area number two. They are pulling it away from the Little Connemara River. In this area, which made this project special, I said in the beginning, we call this an AML pilot program project in 2016. The name changed in late mid 2020, and it was called the Band of Mine Land Economic Revitalization, known as AMLR. So this refuse pile in this area here was pulled back from the river. It was regraded in an engineered fashion and then neutralized with alkaline addition. And then this area is repurposed as a memorial park and a trailhead for the bike trail that was sharing the road conditions of Railroad Street. So we were able to relocate this trailhead to a safer stop condition at the bridge. And then the community was able to utilize this area as a community park, other than having it being, you know, reclaimed refuse, seeded and mulched. So this area is now being utilized by the community. Here's another picture, aerial picture of that work performed in refuse pile number two in April of 2019. Another improvement that was a benefit with the mine refuse that went all the way down to the river and the way it was situated, it also impeded the floodplain. So when we removed the refuse and regraded it and created, you'll see some other photos with this further construction work being done, you'll see how we improved the floodplain in this area around the Little Connemara River. It was improved by over an acre. So now here on refuse pile number one, this is during July of 2019 at the now removed and reclaimed refuse pile number one. Here in this picture is the 775 foot long by 17 feet wide gabion basket channel that accepts and conveys all the stormwater drainage. Throughout the reclaimed area of refuse pile number one, there was a total of six drainage benches. Four of those drainage benches drain to the gabion rock basket that you're seeing here in this construction picture. Here's another picture of the gabion basket in July of 2019. At the base, you know, it's now the refuse pile being removed and reclaimed. This gabion rock channel basket was designed to accept the 100-year design storm frequency with the storm water coming off the pile. Here in October 2019 is at the base of the now reclaimed refuse pile number one. That was the 50-some acre refuse pile. This is a picture illustrating the seeding and mulching of the work that was ongoing. And again, here in October 2019, the base of the now reclaimed refuse pile number one, just further illustrating the seeding and mulching work. And unfortunately, with the add-on of the Johnstown path of the flood trail pile, so it was one of the last things that was done. I only have pictures of the work ongoing that happened in early 2020, prior to when COVID hit. So this is the work being done, removing the refuse pile. I showed you a picture earlier. I know I showed you a lot of pictures, but this is a 6-acre refuse pile that it was eroding onto the Johnstown flood trail path that's below the pile. So with this refuse pile removed, it's no longer negatively impacting the trail riders and everybody who was recreating on the trail. This is another picture of the Johnstown half of the flood trail pile in April of 2020. At the time of this picture, the entire 6-acre refuse pile was removed and the area would then be seeded and mulched. But again, I didn't have any pictures of that close up. Now I want to move over to the construction conditions on the Title V, the active surface mine permit that Rosebud acquired off of the Amfire Mining Company. So the one slide I had with all that information on there showed back in early 2008 or whenever it was when Amfire was mining the coal on the surface mine site over 250 acres. And then they mined all that they could get. And then they transferred the permit and Rosebud took over the permit. So the conditions during the time of our reclamation contract to be disposed into the surface mine site was more of a void. So this is a good photo. showing the surface mine permit, the active surface mine site Title 5, not to be confused with the Title 4 abandoned mine site that was created by a pre-77 mine condition of disposing the mine refuse at the AML site. This site here is a post-77 active mine site that was, the permit was revised to accept the mine refuse from our AML contract to be blended with alkaline addition. So this is the current condition of that site in 2016 when the two sites were basically married together. So this is a great photo. Here's a picture of the surface mine refuse disposal area during construction of 2017. The disposal process of bringing the mine refuse over to the active surface mine site, the refuse was hauled to the site by those 10 Caterpillar 777 trucks. The refuse was spread by Caterpillar D11 bulldozers in 2-foot layers. The refuse was covered by 3 inches of alkaline addition, and then it was compacted by Caterpillar 815 compactors. This process was repeated until all the refuse from the AML site was disposed here in the surface mine permit site. So as you can see in here, layers of the refuse being placed and then revegetated on the slopes, and then you have the alkaline addition. So every roughly 2 feet, you have this layering of mine refuse, alkaline addition, compaction. Again, mine refuse, alkaline addition, compaction. So you have the neutralizing benefit of the alkaline addition with the acidic mine refuse and also Red Dog to neutralize any groundwater and surface rainwater that would make it through the disposal area. And you, of course, you have a vegetated cap. And so as they reclaim the refuse over here in the surface mine permit site and placed, you had, I believe it was, I have it on the next slide. I think it was about a foot of, it was 1 foot of topsoil cover on site material to get the vegetation. So this is another great illustration. Here's a picture of the surface mine permit refuse disposal area during construction of 2019. As you can see, the layering progressed to accept all the refuse. The top and the side slopes of the fill were covered with 1 foot of on-site spoil material that was seeded and mulched. So you can just see the progress that it made over three years to get to this point right here. So after the first year of construction, it was from 2016 to 2017, the project won an award, and the project wasn't even done yet. It won the award from the Pennsylvania Environmental Council in 2017, and I have a video to show you. It's a good video to show you a lot of the during construction conditions. And the main person in this video is Dave Yangling. At the time, he worked for Rosebud Mining, and this video was presented in the summer of 2017 to signify the award. So let me jump out of this and get to the video. I'll do this one. There we go. And I'll let it rip.
Of Ehrenfeld, Pennsylvania, is approximately 10 miles north of Johnstown, PA. The site is an abandoned refuse pile that was associated with the Pennsylvania coal and coke mines that were open about 1903. They mined into the 1960s. What they do is they they'll either wash the coal or screen a coal to try to get as many of the impurities out of it as possible. In the refuse pile is where, you know, these, you know, the material that's generated through the cleaning process is dumped. There's approximately 3.2 million tons of abandoned refuse material on the pile. The pile posed several issues to Ehrenfeld. Over the course of the years, they had stability issues, and then also, you know, the pile was hot, it was burning. So there was fumes that was coming off of the pile and affecting the neighboring houses. There's 115 houses that are within 500 foot radius of the refuse pile. There was, you know, some time frames where, you know, different parts of the pile were sliding. It was creating drainage problems, you know, at the bottom of Second Street to some residents. And there was a couple houses that are within 20 feet of the toe of the pile. So, you know, with the stability and the steep side slopes of the pile, you know, it was hazardous. The project of removing the pile was basically, it's, you know, there's two phases. Number one, the Bureau of Abandoned Mines Reclamations, they had to find a spot to move the material to. Rosebud Mining entered into an agreement with them to accept that product under a license agreement. The second part of the pile was the physical moving of the refuse pile that's behind us, you know, from this spot over to Rosebud Mining's disposal area. So the first phase of the project was to connect the two sites up. So there was a 1 mile haul road that was constructed from Rosebud's disposal site over to the active area that we were going to be working in. And we're moving approximately 12,000 yards per day of material. And moved approximately 60% of the material that was identified in the contract. There's 3.2 million tons of refuse material to be moved. That equates to 2.4 million cubic yards. And we moved, again, about 60% of that in that 5.5 month period. Once the refuse material is moved, removed, then there's 30 tons per acre of lime that's added to the abandoned site. In addition to that, once the material is moved to the disposal site, the material is placed in 2 foot layers, and then an additional layer of lime is added to that on the disposal end as well. What you see behind us is an area that's been completed. As we expose 5 acres of surface land, then we come in and we seed and plant. So the green area you see is, it was completed, that was planted around September. The project will restart right around July 1st, and then we're hoping to get the rest of the material moved by next spring. Once the abandoned refuse pile is removed, there should be a dramatic improvement in the water quality that's hitting the tributaries of the Conemaugh River. There's just a large amount of water that's infiltrating down through the pile, picking up metals and contaminants. And once the pile's removed, you know, the contaminants that's being picked up is going to be eliminated, and the water quality should, again, be greatly improved.
I thought that was a good sort of like during construction video, and also taking the opportunity to also kind of archive, you know, that we're on our way, you know, gaining momentum on the construction work. So I think this is where I'm going to pause next for any questions. So we are at the phase of during construction. We're going to be in the home stretch of final conditions, but we'll pause right now to answer any questions.
Okay, great. Yeah, there were a couple questions that came in. So I guess there was a question about if there's been any, there was any significant rainfall and flooding events that have occurred or large flow events since installing the gabion rock drains. And if so, how did they hold up?
Yeah, they held up fine. I mean, the project's been complete now since late 2020. You know, our Abandoned Mine program, we have an investigation sections that handles complaints on a daily basis. I am not aware or familiar with any post-construction conditions of the Gabion Rock Basket or any other vegetated areas of the completed project.
Okay, great. Another participant wants to know if there were any engineering controls used to protect the homes closest to the where the work was being done from fugitive dust or accidental sediment movement during the excavation.
Yeah, our contracts are there for, like, we have water trucks. The haul road that connected the site, it had to be maintained, and also the dust suppression of that haul road was a problem during construction. So per the contract and for environmental controls, they had to wet the road down to take care of that. For refuse piles, before they're reclaimed and as they are set out there for many years, there's always that dust issue that when it gets very windy on a refuse pile that was placed prior to 77 by a mine company, that does generate its own dust. Here for the construction contract, when you have an active project with a contractor out there, we have terms and conditions in the contract. Specifically, one of the main problems was the haul road, because they excavated the area and they had to keep that dust suppression under control. So they did have a water truck to do that. Also, the refuse pile area had an MPDS permit for earth disturbance. So we did have ENS controls in to filter out sediment that would be leaving the site because of the excavation. You know, we had sed ponds that were constructed along the haul road. We had silt sock. And then you have your final revegetation with seed and mulching. So we had those controls in place.
Okay, great. Yeah, I guess a question along the lines of the seeding. Were there any phytoremediation techniques considered or applied at this site?
What kind of techniques was that again?
Phytoremediation, like remediation with plants.
Oh, okay. The vegetation for wild grasses, you're going to see that coming here in the post-construction photos. We did have some tree planting as well. When it comes to refuse piles, in this method of reclaiming the refuse pile by digging it all up, getting back down to original ground, the negative impacts of the refuse, acidic properties of the mine refuse, you would have to remediate the original ground with some alkaline properties of liming and fertilizing to get the plants to grow. And also for tree planting, we did do some tree planting as well. On other methods of reclamation of refuse piles, if you are just regrading and capping refuse piles, planting trees on refuse piles is something that's not promoted. Given the refuse is still there, it still has the ability to catch on fire. So if you plant a bunch of trees on a regraded, remolded and capped refuse pile, that's not a good idea. You still have to revegetate it, of course, but in this method of reclamation, the refuse piles was removed. So our revegetation plan was both some tree planting and seeding the soil supplements. I don't know if the question had a question about bio application of biosolids, but that's not what we did here.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, I think you answered most of the questions that have come in. I do want to do a time check with you, for delivering your material and showing more videos. I'd say maybe you have about another 35 minutes, to be able to include more pauses for questions.
Yeah, I got to speed it up. So I keep on going.
All right. Thanks, Patrick.
Okay. All righty. So, here we go. Yeah, so now we're in post-construction conditions. I have these slides, but I really like to get to the videos because videos are much better than you hearing, listening to me and looking at pictures, but I'll do my best. From this picture, it was taken in June of 2020. Here's where the 7.7-acre refuse pile number two used to be. This reclaimed area is now a memorial park for the communities of Urnfield and South Fork. It is also now a trailhead for the Johnstown Path of the Flood Trail. So as you can see here, you see your vegetation in the top coat's nice and flat. It's for the memorial park that is there. And in this area, the refuse pile wasn't like dug up, removed, and hauled away to the SMP because we had some roadway issues. So in this area, the refuse pile was removed from the stream embankment, increased the floodplain by an acre, and we regraded the area to make it be a usable space for the Ambler program for economic development and recreation for those surrounding communities. Here's another picture taken of that reclaimed area, refuse pile number 2 that was below Railroad Street, again in June of 2020. Again, this reclaimed area has also improved the floodplain of the Little Conemaugh River by up to an acre. Now here on refuse pile number 1, above Railroad Street, it's going to be basically a pan from like left to right. These are the following pictures of the reclaimed 55.8 acres of refuse pile number 1. The entire refuse pile had been removed and hauled and disposed in the surface mine permit disposal area. This picture and the following pictures were taken in June of 2020 following the western embankment area, the southern embankment area to the adjacent Railroad Street. So it's kind of like wrapping around the pile. Really good pictures here as you go around. I have a good video of this as well, kind of like as a drive-by. At the time, I'd like to show it. There we go. And I told you to remember that one house. So this is photos, a good illustration of a house that was located 5 feet from the base of what once was the refuse pile number 1. That refuse was all the way right into here. So now the refuse was kind of like up all the way up to the tree line. Now the people that live there, they don't have this big refuse pile, you know, any longer, and it's all grassy meadow behind them. Here's the southern embankment of the refuse pile area that's now reclaimed number 1. You can see that gabion basket channel handling stormwater along Railroad Street. And then a further picture at the very end with some grouting of a channel handling stormwater. Okay, so now to illustrate the post-construction conditions over at the surface mine permit, the refuse disposal site, the active mine site that was modified to accept the mine refuse. So these are the post-construction conditions there in June of 2020. Very, very good reclamation of grass. See the embankment area there, and you can kind of see the layering as they work. You know, they were contemporaneous fashion. They were reclaiming and revegetating as they went. Okay, and I'm going to pause here now for any post-construction questions. I still have some more slides, but any questions? I know we had some questions about the gabion basket, the conditions and the soils or the revegetation. We answer some of those, but any more questions before I continue?
There's one question about water quality monitoring and if that's typically conducted during or after construction, and you know, have there been improvements in the AMD conditions observed since the removal?
Somebody's reading my mind. I'm going to go to the next slide and show you.
Okay, great.
Here, this table illustrates the improvement of an unnamed tributary to the Little Conemaugh at the AML site that flowed adjacent to refuse pile number 1. If you remember in the beginning, some of the pre-construction conditions where I mentioned how the refuse pile, I believe it was the western embankment, it was disposed by the Pennsylvania Coal and Company, Coal and Coke Company. Basically, they moved the stream by disposing the refuse into the unnamed tributary, and they pushed the stream closer to the houses, the unnamed tributary to Little Conemaugh, not the large Little Conemaugh River that's at the base of the southern part of the pile. This is the western embankment. So what you see is the water quality of the unnamed tributary above the refuse pile. You know, here showing the pH, the alkalinity, the hot acidity, got some low numbers and low alkalinity, hot acidity. And then the same tributary below the refuse pile and after we started the reclamation. So the reclamation started in April of 2016. And then you see water sample analysis of the unnamed tributary below the reclaimed, now reclaimed area of the refuse pile gone. You see the pH improved up to like the 7.75s. You see how we have now alkalinity in the water, higher numbers, and the hot acidity being removed. So this is the watershed improvement at the AML site. Not sure if the question was specifically to the AML site, but on this next screen, you see the improvement at the surface mine site as well. You have a, there was a monitoring point there on the surface mine area, the surface mine permit, where you see once that the Urnfeld refuse started coming to the surface mine site with the alkaline addition, you can see the pH ranges improve up into the higher sevens. You can see the introduction of more alkalinity and the reduction of the hot acidity And so that was a good, you know, good timely question for this right here. I'll pause again if there was any other associated questions for that.
No, nothing's coming.
Okay, so I hope that should answer the question. It'll help me move this along too. So so going on here now, post-construction conditions. So to help better illustrate post-construction conditions, I got two videos to play here to show what it was like there. And I got to get back out, get to there, get you here. All right, so this is a promotional video. Again, it's talking about AML Pilot. That's the old name, and then we now go by AMLR. Now, this is the most I said AML Pilot in over a year because I've trained myself to say AMLR, AMLR, AMLR. So here we go.
This is the first AML Pilot project in the nation. Commonwealth of Pennsylvania was awarded for 2016 pilot funding to take an AML site, reclaim it, and repurpose it for economic development and benefit for recreational use of the surrounding community, and also to improve property value here in Urnfeld. This is a 62-acre site, and there was over 3.2 million tons of mining-related materials. 2 years ago, this was all refuse. You would not have any sky behind me. It was all mine refuse, black, gray refuse. We can take an area that people, they've grown up to and they're just used to it, and then we can change it. We can change the landscape of the Commonwealth by taking these abandoned mine lands that should not be in existence, that were for profit by mine companies prior to 1977. And with the Abandoned Mine Land Fund, we can restore these properties back to the way nature intended them to be. The aesthetic appearance of the town is being improved with the refuse material removed. It's restoring the ground back to the way it used to be, and it's safe now.
Okay. Yeah, and that was sort of like also conditions. During construction, they had me saying 62 acres, but then we did add the other refuse pile that moved us up closer to a little bit bigger number for the extra six acres. Another good post-construction video is this drive-by. I don't think I have to play at all, but this is really good. And some of this video is used in that promotional video. So I can kind of, this gets you a good view of being up in the reclaimed area. It was close to this one cemetery in the western part of the refuse pile and how it wraps all the way around to the front. So I think I can kind of speed through this. Turned off the audio because it was just me driving, and you could like hear the vehicle. So as you get around, you saw some of the photos, some of the still photos in the picture, but now we're basically doing a drive-by. There's the stream, the unnamed tributary down here at the base. The refuse was all the way, lose my little pointer. Maybe it's because I'm in a different format. But the refuse, was a bulge all the way down, and this was all black and gray refuse, and now it's all vegetated. It's contoured better than what it was to reduce and eliminate erosion of coal fines into the stream. Forward. And all in this area, you had the other refuse, and now it's all claimed. Fast forward a little bit more. Grab the dot closer down. Here you see some of the ENS controls, some of the silt saw that was removed. The unnamed tributary, see some of the riprap right behind the homes there or the stream. The people that lived adjacent to this pile, behind them was this large black gray mess you saw in those pre-construction photos. You had ATV riders back there, behind the refuse pile, and now it's all removed. That blue house, kind of see it in the background. I thought I saw it. Back up the street, that blue house a little bit further. You may not be able to see it. It's more further depth. There's another road behind these homes that took you up to the house that was at the base of the refuse pile. Then here is the trail, the flood path trail, bike trail, right here at this condition. So what we had was here's the new trailhead here. slow people down and get to the stop conditions to get across the this was bridge that came over that continue on the trail. You can see part of refuse pile number one below the main road. Refuse pile number two is above. You can see the expansion of the floodplain along the Little Connemara River. Again, you had mine refuse all the way to these homes in the screen. Now it's all reclaimed and removed. And now the existing ground that was underneath the refuse pile is now vegetated. Crossing over. Oh, this was a good shot here. Yeah, I don't want to make sure you see this. There's a good view of now the reclaimed refuse. I mean, that was all the mine refuse waste all the way up to the top of the mountain, all the way back in depth into the photo or in the video here. Back there to the hauler, however you want to pronounce it. Get you further out. You know, good view of the refuse area, all reclaimed. This is showing both, you know, the refuse pile number one and two with the Memorial Park, some of the drainage controls of there's your large channel in on the refuse pile area, and then also below pile number two, taking all the water down to the Little Connemara. Further. Kind of put you there in Urnfeld, driving around the pile area and see more of the homes. Apologize for the shaky video. That's me driving and videotaping at the same time. It's a good thing I wasn't talking on the phone too. Just joking. All right. So that's not a laughing matter. I'm just don't do that. I better stop. Anyhow, okay, so let's now get back to the presentation. Go. So those are the two videos, the promotional video and the drive-by. Another award that the project won prior to the OSM award, here are the IMCC, Interstate Mining Compact Commission. It's a multi-state governmental organization supporting the natural resources and related environmental protection and mine safety of health interests in its member states. The Commonwealth PA is a member of state of the IMCC for both Title IV abandoned mines and Title V active coal mining. So the IMCC also awarded the Urnfeld project because it brought together Title V active mining, because it's usually an active mining award, plus the Title IV with our project with the refuse pile. So this was an annual newsletter that stated that the Urnfeld Project 1 with Rose Mountain Mining being honored. All right, so now getting into the OSM 2020 AML Award in the competition. Here's just another screen. And this is our project team. The nomination, I authored it, was for our director at the time, Erica Baza. He's retired. Now our bureau director is Brian Bradley, and the project team that worked on the project from development, design, permitting, and construction. The competition for the AML awards, where am I at here? I'm getting myself confused. There we go. All right, sorry, looking at too many screens. But the it's a pre-77 mine site. So this is specifically for the refuse pile, you know, because it was a pre-77 area. Utilize the surface mine site for the refuse disposal. The award competition, you know, the top awards, the national award, and then they also have regional awards, because the nation is split up into, 27 AML programs are nationally ongoing. That includes seven in the Appalachian region. They're basically in the eastern side of the country, like Pennsylvania, West Virginia. There's 10 program AML programs in the interior region. Alabama is one of them. And then there's 10 Western programs in the Western region, including three Indian tribes. So of those 27 AML programs, they can also submit these nominations. So Pennsylvania, if everybody submitted, you are competing against 26 other programs for the national award. You could also win, like it's saying, you can win an Appalachian award, the Interior award, or the Western award, for the national. They also have small projects, small programs competition as well for AML programs that the funding may not be as large as like as Pennsylvania's and West Virginia's and other state and other programs. So the judging standards, this is showing what I had and others have to write these nominations for. And these are the six main areas for judging standards and how the competition in the rating. And what I wanted to, usually when I would present this at a conference, I would cover every single section here, but I just highlighted some of the points of the information and current technology. The factor was the MPDS permit, you know, is limited 6 acres at a time on the AML site. The difficulty of achieving reclamation during the existing conditions, the phasing was very difficult out there with the close proximity of the homes, handling the stormwater. There was constant changes of series of berms, diversion channels, and pipes that conveyed the stormwater. The on-site effectiveness of the project now reclaimed, it's almost 70 acres now reclaimed with grasses and tree planting in that portion of the 7-acre refuse pile, you know, that's now being repurposed as a community park. The funding, that's where we showed that if we were with an estimate of $98 million with rebidding the project and working with the surface mine site, we significantly reduced the cost by 64% to have a closeout out the door cost of $35.3 million. The benefits to the community, again, the refuse piles are all reclaimed. Refuse pile 2 is now Memorial Park and Trailhead. Another part of the economics of the AMLR program, Rosebud during that time, they laid off 40 of their miners of their surface mining division. Now with the AML contract, the contract was able to bring back those laid off miners and put them back to work. And then the true definition of the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act, the Title V sites that are mining actively for coal since 1977, the AML fee is what's funding, that fee of active mining is what's funding the AML program. So this was a great project to combine both Title V active mine sites that are permitted post-77 with common modern day controls with an abandoned mine site for reclamation. So what we had was, like I said, 27 programs can compete, and you have 43 total voting voters. As a program, you can vote. That's what these other regions, you know, that are shown over here. But then you have OSMRE, OSM, they also vote as well. So the reason why we're getting into some of the voting is to kind of go over the awards. So I'm going to kick back to the video to go over some of the conditions. I forgot to share the IMCC website. Sorry about that. But that's them, and that's their role of working with both Title IV and Title V coal mining, abandoned mine lands for Title IV and active mining for Title V. And so where I am now is the OSM Awards video. I kind of give you a preview of how the competition occurs and who's eligible. And now we're going to just dive into the awards program to show you, you know, how we did it versus other programs and to show you some good illustrations. So got two cups to play. Here we go.
Welcome to the 2020 Abandoned Mine Land Reclamation Awards, a presentation of the U.S. Department of the Interior, the Office of Surface Mining, Reclamation, and Enforcement. For the first time ever, OSM presents these awards virtually. And now, here is OSM's Principal Deputy Director.
Hello, and welcome to our awards program for 2020. I'm Lanny Yurtis, and it's my pleasure to present this year's awards. Due to the worldwide pandemic, we will present the awards a little differently this year. There have been many challenges for our nation and for the world, and yet, I'm proud to point out that even during these challenging times, reclamation of pre-law lands have continued. This reclamation, in many cases, mirrors the outstanding reclamation being conducted on SMACRA-issued coal permits across the country. In just a moment, we will share with you some of that reclamation. Our awards are presented in partnership with the National Association of Abandoned Mine Land Programs and the National Association of State Land Reclamationists. We value our partnership with the associations and the states and the tribes. And speaking as a former AML program manager, I thank you personally for doing what you do. And now to the awards. A panel of state and federal reclamation experts chose the winning projects. And what a group of nominations we had. We begin with the Appalachians.
Okay, so this was a standard video for the awards. They went over the different awards, but we're just focusing on Ehrenfeld. So I'm going to fast forward to where they honor Ehrenfeld. There's good, you know, pre, during, and post-construction videos. Get you 1408.
Now it's time to honor our national award winner. We honor a project that became the entire focus of a small Pennsylvania town. People living there realized that the mine-related problems looming above the town could kill off the small community. And in contrast, cleaning up the problem could mean a new life for the town. That life and death analogy became all too real. Let's take a look.
Raymond Charles Plummer.
In the 8+ years he served as mayor, Ray Plummer wanted just one thing for his little town: that someone would remove a 900-foot-high coal waste pile from above. It was more than just an eyesore. It was an environmental threat, and it kept people away.
You have people saying, oh, well, I like Ehrenfeld, but I don't want to live there.
Ehrenfeld Mine operated from 1903 until 1971, but with a lack of oversight, the operators left pile after pile of waste, which polluted the Little Conemaugh River, and worse.
Homes up here, their yards are just filled with water, you know, mine water.
Located within 50 feet of the base of a refuse pile that can slide under their homes, that's what makes it a high priority site.
An extraordinary problem that needed a high priority solution. Then came the news that Pennsylvania would receive AML pilot program money, designed to clean up sites just like these and stimulate local economies, something Ray Plummer put his faith in.
It's great to see that this is all happening and that it's going to be, you know, these refuse piles are going to be going. Maybe, I hope in the future there'll be something better than what we have now.
One part of economic development meant hiring about 50 out-of-work miners to do the reclamation. Their employer, Rosebud Mining Company, agreed to take the acid-generating waste pile and place it into a local mine void. Working with the AML program, the company mixed the waste with alkaline materials before burying them, and that took care of one environmental threat.
We had a surface burning condition as well. There was portions of the pile that were on fire. You wouldn't see flames, but it was smoldering toxic fumes in the air, and it was a detriment to the air quality.
When workers finished earth moving, they had transported nearly 3.5 million cubic yards of waste, and Ray Plummer believed the other economic development would follow.
It'll change people's attitude against the town. Now, after this is all gone and cleaned up and that, I think that the people really start wanting to move in.
Crews entered the home stretch, grading and hydroseeding, planting nearly 3,000 small trees, including white pine, sugar maples, hemlock, and red oak, among others. But before they could finish the work, two men most closely associated with the project passed away. Rosebud Mining Superintendent of Surface Operations, Mark Kirkpatrick, and Mayor, Ray Plummer. Ehrenfeld has created a memorial for the two men, but now their legacy stands in two ways: a newly revitalized Ehrenfeld, Pennsylvania, and a 2020 Abandoned Mine Land Reclamation National Award.
This project has a couple of other distinctions. This is the first AML pilot project in the nation. It is also the first pilot project to win the AML Award, and yes, we expect to see more. But it has one other distinction. For the first time in memory, and perhaps in history, this was a unanimous selection as a national award winner. All of the judges agreed that this was the most distinctive project in the nation. Let's hear from Pennsylvania.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's AML program is honored to accept OSM's 2020 National Abandoned Mine Reclamation Award for the Ehrenfeld Coal Refuse Pile Remediation Project.
We would like to acknowledge the many AML program staff and other project partners who contributed towards the successful completion of the project.
I think we can honestly say that this is one of the best years for our award winners in recent memory. In the course.
Okay. So that was a good video. I'll show you that. Stay on target here. That was just award video and then before and after. So almost wrapping up here. And another good for watershed, the Ehrenfeld site was part of what they call here locally as one of the primary seven discharges that impair the Little Conemaugh River. So with the reclamation of the Ehrenfeld pile, it addressed one of those discharges. There was also a treatment, an active treatment system that was constructed by Rosebud probably about 15 years ago that addresses one of the Super Seven. And also there's more drainage up further from the watershed that's our next step. So I do want to get into this River Reborn YouTube video, and you can begin by accessing the PowerPoint. You'll be able to see all of these videos, but where I'm at here is a little bit more highlighting AML, history of AML and how it applied to Ehrenfeld, and what's next in the Little Conemaugh River watershed with abandoned mine reclamation and acid mine drainage treatment. So let me cue this up, and we're almost done, everybody. So hang in there.
Pennsylvania is a unique place in terms of fresh water, second only to Alaska in miles of streams and rivers.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're really blessed. We have great waterways, rivers and streams, lakes and wetlands that crisscross the state, but a huge percentage of them are considered unsafe for fishing and swimming. Most of the pollution comes from these old abandoned coal mines.
Pennsylvania is home to an invisible web of underground mines, the legacy of a once mighty industry. Since the early 1800s, the coal mines of Pennsylvania have provided one out of every 4 tons of coal produced in the United States, energy that powered the Industrial Revolution and the war efforts of World War I and II. The coal industry peaked in Pennsylvania in 1918 at 276 million tons, and then began a century-long decline.
Coal mining was regulated first in 1977, and we're now dealing with the legacy of sites that were degraded prior to 1977. 240,000 acres of dead, toxic land and 5,600 miles of dead waterways.
Okay, so this is a good video. They used Ehrenfeld, and also just talk about abandoned mine reclamation, that's mine drainage altogether. And we're leading to the end here, but all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together, and almost here. Got a 3 more clips of this video to show you. Again, if you have time, may want to kick back and watch all of this video someday, because you'll have access to it. But there's more of Ehrenfeld.
Blood, the coal mine survived, and the city rebuilt.
Cambria County was really at the heart of production of coal for the Industrial Revolution, and had a lot of scars related to that.
As the coal industry shrank, mine shafts were abandoned, and rainwater began to fill the underground caverns, mixing with exposed metals until the mines overflowed with a toxic slurry of iron, manganese, and aluminum. Poisoned by these metals and unable to support life, rivers like the Little Conemaugh were left for dead. But in 2008, the Foundation for Pennsylvania Watersheds proposed a resurrection for the river. They targeted the 7 largest sources of pollution flowing into the Little Conemaugh, the Super 7.
The Super 7 report was done locally in Cambria County in 2008, describing 7 deadly discharges along a 13-mile stretch of river.
Okay, so you see Ehrenfeld is in there. The St. Michael Shaft, 29%, that's now being treated. It has been treated over maybe 10, 15 years now by the Rosebud Mining Company. And now the Ehrenfeld refuse pile eliminates that 12% there. Two more short clips. Almost. I think we're going to be on time there, Jen. So I think we're going to be all right. Let me get here to 12.
I mean, most places you go, like you see little streams and that, you see fish in them. You come here, what do you see? Orange. Some orange in there. That's something that fish ain't never going to live in. If it wasn't orange, I'd be down there every day fishing.
In the town of Ehrenfeld lies another of the Super 7, where a mountain of coal waste loomed above the village for decades, a smoldering reminder of the past.
A spoil pile with millions of tons of spoil falling down next to houses. You could see it from the highway, and it was impacting the economic value of the houses in this town. So the mayor was very much behind it.
You could see it. You could see this coming out of the ground and that, and you could smell it. Then it caved in. And then once it caved in, I think that's when this all started, about getting rid of that pile.
But how do you move 14 million tons of toxic coal waste? The Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, or DEP, didn't have the tools or expertise. So they enlisted a company with decades of experience digging up large piles of rock, Rosebud Mining.
We have how much more to go?
155 feet.
155, that's gonna be the toughest, 155
yes.
feet. The Ehrenfeld pile is a complex scenario of surface acidic mine drainage. And then without the project, it's spilling out into river, contaminated. You have to imagine a bulge of refuse was here all the way down to the river. They've advanced this far to remove over 2.8 million tons of the refuse material.
The refuse began all the way at the top of the mountain here and went down to the river. So where we're standing right now, 2 years ago, this would be the middle of the refuse pile.
When the project is complete, the DEP will have moved the refuse pile to a nearby mountainside, mixing the contaminated soil with limestone to neutralize it, then burying it under layers of earth to keep the metals from escaping.
Now that's a real good view here, a construction photo of the layering process. Just wanted to stop and point that out. Very good illustration.
Well, I'm hoping maybe someday we can have boating down there and have a little store that we could sell stuff in that, you know, like bait and tackle or whatever, and that something to bring a little bit of money in this town. Instead of opening your door and look out and see that big pile, it's going to be green. It's going to really be nice, I think.
The cleanup at Ehrenfeld restored 40% of the town's developable land and put 40 unemployed miners back to work.
It's a marvelous example of how pollution can be abated statewide. This was a river that was designated unfixable. It's a great success, and I think we're going to get to the end.
Yeah, I'll just stop real quick. Hughes, Sawman, Miller Shaft, that's the next phase of the restoration of the little Conemaugh River here.
Of the 7 deadly discharges and clean up a waterway.
All right, and I think, you know, we're kind of running real close on time. So what I'm going to do is try to wrap this up. and there you saw another video where there the mayor passed away. So what we'll do is let me see here. Yeah, what's next for the Little Conemaugh? Let's get to sort of a whole approach here.
What once brought jobs and money into Cambria County has plagued the county's waterways for decades. Coal mines, now abandoned, have left rivers and creeks orange. Cleanup efforts have some running clear again, but the work isn't done. Haley DeBetta joins us live with what's next in this cleanup effort. Haley.
Sean, the Department of Environmental Protection has several acid mine drainage treatment sites throughout the county. A new proposed site in Portage would be the key to have the Little Conemaugh River run clear. When mining in Portage started to come to a halt in the 1950s, it left its mark on the borough. Waterways that flow into the Little Conemaugh River began to run orange with acid mine drainage.
This has been going on for so long, this mine water that's impacting the fish life and the aquatics. And also, it's a detriment to the surrounding community.
The Department of Environmental Protection wants to change that with an acid mine drainage treatment site, which would clean up the aftermath of the Sonmen mine, Miller Shaft, and Hughes borehole.
To centralize it to one point where it can be put into an active treatment system, treated and discharged into the river. That's another 30% of treated acid mine drainage to be combined with the St. Michael treatment plant.
A lot of water coming out. Yeah.
The result, a cleaner Little Conemaugh River, as 60% of acid mine drainage would be treated.
You would have other recreational opportunities to fish, possibly maybe even have tubing like they have in the Stony Creek River in Johnstown. So with a restored watershed, there's benefits for the community to enjoy, but definitely environmentally to restore the fish and other wildlife within the watershed.
The DEP hopes to start the project soon, but it will come at a cost.
Active treatment plants are in the millions, but it's the continual benefit of the water being treated and restoring the watershed, specifically the Little Conemaugh.
Next steps for the project include the DEP acquiring the land. Abandoned mine land funding and government funding would cover the cost. Reporting live in the studio, Haley DeBetta, 6 News.
Okay, so we are at the end.
Now is the perfect time to replace your windows. Renewal by Anderson has amazing...
There we go, sorry. I'm getting lost in the tabs. There we go. All right. Here we go. Finish line. We're done. And that was a video produced last year about the Little Conemaugh with the next project in the watershed with the Portage Acid Mine Drainage Treatment Plant. So that concludes the presentation. Some more questions here, if any.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. There was a couple questions that came in about maybe some of the changes in the ecology at the site now that it's been reclaimed. Has there been any analysis or observation of more animal or native plant species at the site?
Not that I'm aware of. We do so many projects, one after the other, in handling abandoned mine land projects and inquiries on a daily basis. I am not aware of any ongoing monitoring out there. We basically work on a reactionary with inquiries from the general public. All I can say is I know that the site's stable. What we did is complete, it is improving the watershed.
Okay. There was a participant that asked about if there were any incentives that were available to the active site that was receiving the mine waste, and if there was any effect on the site's rehabilitation requirements.
Well, without the surface mine permit site, if the two sites weren't combined with the AML contract, Rosebud Mining, they would have continued finishing up the reclamation there in early 2014. Whenever they took over the permit, they would have been required to continue the backfill and seeded and mulch it and then be done. There was a benefit by having the mine refuse provide a better topography for a final condition, and it really was a win-win for the AML program and the surface mining, active mining program to have the two projects combined, because as I demonstrated, if we had a standalone reclamation contract for the AML site, it was just way too costly. I mean, it was just too costly to reclaim the site, and to be able to reclaim it for $35 million versus $98 million, we would have never been able to do this project if both programs weren't combined, with the active surface mine site as a disposal.
Okay, great. There was a participant who was wanted to know where you got the alkaline materials that you intermingled during reclamation.
Per the construction specifications, and I wasn't on the site daily, so I don't know what the source was exactly, but the specifications in the contract did have requirements of acceptable alkaline material that was utilized to neutralize the acidic properties of the mine refuse. All I can say is the contractor met the approved engineered stamp and sealed specifications for the adequate or appropriate alkaline addition materials to be utilized to neutralize the acidic properties of the mine refuse.
Okay, great. And one last question that came in is this participant is curious how the pilot program has evolved over the years.
See, you almost got me there. The AMLR program, it's been basic since 2016 to not only reclaim abandoned mine sites, but to have the end product be repurposed, whether it's for economic benefits, like the case of Urnfeld, to employ 40 unemployed miners, to have a repurposing of a reclaimed area to be utilized as a community memorial park and improvements to the recreational trailhead, and also SM mine drainage facilities where water is being treated, released to the stream. If it wasn't treated, it'd be polluted. With streams being improved, there's recreation that is improving, more recreation happening at the reclaimed abandoned mine sites and the treated S mine water sites. The AML, I almost said it, the AMLR program, Abandoned Mine Land Economic Revitalization Program, it has been ongoing since 2016 every year. For Pennsylvania, it was reinitiated again in 2020. We're working on projects right now with the Office of Surface Mine and Reclamation Enforcement and having them approved for vetting and obtaining environmental clearances for NEPA in order to get the authorization to proceed from OSM to bid out the projects for construction. We also have, each year it's roughly 25 to 30 million since 2016. That's just for Pennsylvania. That's not for every AML program. In 2021, there's another $25 million that's available for us to put projects together. That's our next step in the AMLR program. And in the bipartisan infrastructure bill that was passed for 2022, I believe at a minimum, there's another $25 million that could be available for these special abandoned mine land economic revitalization projects. And these are special projects in addition to the basic abandoned mine reclamation, acid mine drainage projects that we do here in the Commonwealth using federal funding from the Office of Surface Mine and Reclamation Enforcement from the Department of Interior.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your presentation today, Patrick. We received comments from participants that they really appreciated learning about your project, and thank you very much. I think I'm going to turn it over to Jean now to wrap us up.
All right. Thank you so very much, Michelle. Let me go ahead and call up a couple of final slides here on the screen, and we will close things out for our live audience. So the first thing that I want to be sure to do is to just thank the over 130 individuals we had join us for today's live broadcast, as well as to thank both Patrick and Michelle for their time and expertise. I'll remind everybody that if you liked today's seminar and you'd like to join us for future ones, Michelle already highlighted the Cleanup Information Network in the mining area that she maintains there, but you can certainly visit us at cluin.org to browse through other technical resources on hazardous waste site characterization and cleanup. And I do encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter, Tech Direct, which goes out on the first of each month and will highlight free technical webinars like today's session. One of the other things that I wanted to remind everybody is that copies of the presentation materials and all of those fabulous videos that Patrick was highlighting in his talk are already posted on the seminar homepage. So this URL shown at the top of this slide is available from today forward. You'll find tabs along the top, which will have information about our presenters, links to download those slides, and browse through the websites and videos that were highlighted. If you happen to be someone watching the recorded version of today's webinar, that URL still works. You can type it into your browser and access that webpage based off of your replay of our archive session. And one of the most common questions that I get as a technical facilitator is if we offer CEUs or PDHs. While I'm not able to issue those types of formal credit hours, I can provide you with a participation certificate if you fill out our online feedback form. So one of the links on that seminar homepage will be a link to the seminar feedback form. If you fill it out and make sure that you check the box at the very bottom of the form, certifying you were here for the entire delivery, when you submit that feedback form, you'll then immediately have access to a certificate that you can either download or print out. We'll also email a copy of it to you. Sometimes it gets stuck in junk emails, so I encourage you to download it right from that confirmation screen when you send in your feedback form. If you happened to be joined by several parties at your location, each person can fill out that feedback form on their own, even if they didn't register individually for the session. So I simply ask those of you who did sign up to get the link to the feedback form over to your colleagues so they can fill it out, share their thoughts, and get a certificate for their own participation. And guess what? For those of you lucky enough to be replaying the recording version of today's session, you can still fill out that feedback form and check that box to get a certificate based off of your replay of the session. You should find a link in the online archive format somewhere near the upper right. It should point you to the feedback form. So as I've noted here a few times, our session was recorded. You'll automatically get an email to the recorded version in about 1 week. And I encourage you to share that link or that email with other colleagues if you think this will be a valuable expenditure of their time. And so with that, I'll go ahead and thank our speakers and our organizers one more time for their technical expertise and knowledge. I also want to thank the live audience who asked some really great questions. And with that, we'll go ahead and formally conclude today's live broadcast. Thank you so very much for joining us.